We're going to look ahead now to the November elections. Republicans are hoping for a comeback, and one of this year's most closely watched Senate races is in Indiana. Indiana has an open seat because Democrat Evan Bayh abruptly decided not to seek re-election to a third term in a Congress that is, in his words, dysfunctional. The candidates running for Bayh's seat are appealing to a strong anti-Washington sentiment in the state. Although, as NPR's David Wellna reports, that's something of a stretch since the top three contenders between them have spent decades in Congress.
Let's start with Indiana's Democrats. At first, they were thrown for a loop by Evan Bayh's unexpected withdrawal. He'd been considered a shoo-in for another term. But because Bayh called it quits so late, no other Democrat could register for next month's primary. And it was too late for Republicans to recruit a stronger contender for their side. So five Indiana Republicans are now spending their time and money trying to win the May 4th primary, while the Democratic nominee will be chosen instead by Democratic county chairs the week after the primary. Indiana Democratic Party Chairman Dan Parker is in charge of that selection. He says the only person his party is even considering for the job is a second-term congressman from southwestern Indiana named Brad Ellsworth.
Things have obviously fallen in line for Congressman Ellsworth, and part of it is because of how strong of a candidate he is.
Guys, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to see you, and I look forward to working with you.
And take that picture with you.
I will.
That's Congressman Ellsworth out pressing the flesh at United Consulting, an Indianapolis public works engineering firm that's gotten a lot of work from the economic stimulus bill Ellsworth voted for. One issue that comes up repeatedly is the health care overhaul Ellsworth also voted for.
I was watching what he was doing, and I approved of the way he went about it.
What United Consulting Vice President Bill Hall says he was specifically watching was how Ellsworth pushed for assurances that no funds in the health care bill would be spent on abortion.
I wanted to see how that got worked out. And Brad's a Democrat, but I've always appreciated on some of the moral issues. He's kind of in agreement with what I believe.
Political scientist Brian Vargas of Indiana University and Purdue University says Ellsworth is, if anything, even more conservative than retiring Senator Bayh, who frequently votes against his own party. Ellsworth, Vargas says, is a true Indiana Democrat.
You have to realize the Democrats in Indiana would be Republicans in most other states. This is a very conservative state.
Later, while riding back to his party headquarters, Ellsworth says he's convinced his vote for health care will only look better and better to voters in the Hoosier state.
My board of directors is large and diverse, and they all don't get their information at the same place. That's my job, is to go in there, is to dissect all of that, and then make the best decision I can. And I think I did.
Ellsworth plays down that he's a sitting congressman. Instead, his campaign website shows him leaning against a sheriff's patrol car with a sheriff's badge in his campaign logo. Ellsworth says he's proud to point out that he's the former sheriff of Vandenberg County.
I think it's a great segue to Washington, D.C., keeping those ideals, and I just want to remind myself of that, and I want people to know where I came from. I'm not a lifelong Washington politician.
When Ellsworth first ran for Congress 4 years ago, he beat six-term Republican John Hostetler. Now he and Hostetler are both seeking Bayh's Senate seat.
Let's thank Mr. Hostetler for coming this evening.
In Zionsville, an Indianapolis suburb where the houses are very big and the politics very conservative, about 50 people braved tornado warnings to attend a town hall with former Congressman Hostetler. He describes to this crowd of Tea Party sympathizers his decidedly unique record in Congress, voting against aid for Hurricane Katrina, opposing the Iraq invasion as an unjust war, and supporting any and all tax cuts. A woman in back stands up when he invites questions.
There's something to be said for experience in voting for a politician. And I think a lot of people view that as very important. But in today's climate, I'm not so sure.
Hostetler seeks to reassure her.
With me, you have a known entity with a record that has upheld constitutional principles for 12 years.
Later, Hostetler shrugs when I ask him if he misses Washington.
There were a lot of things about Washington that were not necessarily attractive and continue to be not necessarily attractive to me. But the simple fact of the matter is, it's a work that has to be done.
For now, Hostetler is aiming his fire mainly at the Republican thought most likely to win the GOP primary. That's former U.S. Senator Dan Coats. A video on Hostetler's website questions Coats's conservative credentials.
What happened to Dan Coats? When Dan Coats was elected to the Senate, he assured us that he was one of us, a Hoosier conservative. But something happened to Dan Coats while he was in Washington. In 1993, when
it goes on to denounce Coates for voting to confirm U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg and for voting to ban semi-automatic weapons. Back in Indianapolis, Coates rejects that criticism and insists he's the kind of conservative Hoosiers want.
I hope I've earned the respect and trust of Hoosiers. They've seen me, they know me, they've seen my consistent conservative record. I'm trusting that they will trust me to carry their voice to Indiana because I'm a known quantity.
But what's also known about Coates is that he told a group in North Carolina a year and a half ago that he and his wife, who were living in Virginia while he worked in Washington as a lobbyist, planned to move to North Carolina. An ad run by the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee replays that footage of Coates.
And then I'll be able to register and vote for your two senators and congressmen and be a North Carolinian.
First, Dan Coats quits being an Indiana senator to move to Virginia and be a lobbyist for Wall Street. Now we learn he dreams of retiring in North Carolina.
Coats now says he has no plans to move to North Carolina.
I did mention once that, you know, it's a desirable place, and perhaps at some point in life we might want to consider retiring down there, but I'm a long way from retirement, number one. Number two, I'm back here in Indiana and here to stay.
Late last week, all five Republicans running in next month's Senate primary gathered for their first broadcast debate.
You're listening to live coverage of our Fox News Talk 1430 Republican Roundtable debate coming to you from the Indiana War Memorial here in downtown Indianapolis in the Pershing.
Denise McCanty of Indianapolis stayed for the whole debate, and afterwards she said Dan Coats had failed to win her vote.
I believe he's been away so long, it will be hard for him to connect with the people in Indiana again.
But others seemed impressed by the 10 years Coats spent as the senator who replaced Dan Quayle. Lawyer Grace Jean Meyer was one of them.
I'm getting the impression he could deal with Capitol Hill, and he could work both against and with the politics there.
In the end, says political scientist Brian Vargas, the race for the open Senate seat in Indiana may come down to one crucial unknown factor.
Is the anti-Washington sentiment going to be so strong that they're just going to say, well, okay, I'm going to vote for a Republican. I don't care who it is.
In a little less than 7 months, we should know the answer. David Wellner, NPR News.